Right, it is time to talk about the latest tech stuff now with the gadget detective himself, Fevzi Turkalp. Hi there, Fevzi.
Hello.
How's your podcast going? But we don't mention that as often as some of the other things that we know you're up to.
Bless you, Bill. So, yeah, the Gadget Detective podcast, which basically is almost all that I get up to. I've done quite a lot of work on making it available in lots of different places now. So you can still just go to gadgetdetective.com and either listen or preferably subscribe there. So each episode just drops in automatically. But it's now available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, which means that you can say, Alexa, play the Gadget Detective podcast. It now does.
My wildest dream has finally come true.
Yeah, no. So it's all there. But basically everywhere you normally get it, Castbox, Deezer, iHeart, Player FM, Podcast Addict, all of those places. So pretty much everywhere you'd normally get your podcast, it's there.
Well,
so I'm trying to big it up because I put in quite a lot of work to it recently. So if people are interested in what I do, go to gadgetdetective.com and subscribe there.
Yes, if anybody knows how to put it about and get their podcast everywhere, it jolly well ought to be you. So that's good to hear.
I hadn't really paid it that much attention before, but you think we can all do the things
you can do, but we can't. We wish we could.
Bless.
So we will go. We will look through various items. We've got another selection of five goodies for the new year. I'm not sure I even understand number one. What best of CE?
Okay.
Oh, no, that's right. The best of, yeah. You tell them.
Okay.
I'm feeling old.
So we've had the Consumer Electronics Show, or CES, in Las Vegas, hence the last song, I think. It's almost like it was a plan.
Of course it was.
Just some of the things that sort of stuck out at me about the new technologies that have been either announced or showcased. They don't always become products, but hopefully eventually they do. This one I love. It's called E-Ink Paint, and it's been announced by BMW for their BMW iX concept car. So E-Ink is short for electronic ink, and it's a technology that's used on e-book readers like Kindle e-books, not the color screen ones, but you know those ones with sort of black and white screens, and they you just use them for reading books.
It's kind of good.
So the idea behind e-ink is that it's made up of lots of tiny little balls. I imagine like tiny ping pong balls, not much bigger than a pinhead, and one half of the ball is painted white and the other half is black. And then using an electrical current, you can flip each little dot or ball to make it black or white. So then you get a black and white display. Now imagine that that's built into a paint that is painted onto the car. So at the touch of a button, you can have a white car, or touch of a button, the car becomes black, or any sort of shade of grey in between, or designs. You can have these funky designs all over the car, which is, you could have a display, you could put your speedometer on the outside just to upset the police as you go whizzing past them.
Not that, of course, we advocate that anybody does such a thing.
No, of course not. But yeah. But just imagine, I mean, and where this technology will go. So at the moment, this is a monochrome technology. But you can imagine that in the future, you don't have to choose the colour of your car. You can choose it
every
day or as you're driving, or you can get it to pulse through all the different colours. I don't know how the English law will deal with it, because I think you have to, when you register a car, you have to register its colour. So I don't know exactly how that would work.
Would be handy for hit and run thieves, wouldn't it, now come to think of it? It was definitely a green car, officer. Now I think you find it's pink. Yeah.
Well, imagine if they did it on the number plates.
Don't give people ideas. This is the classic example, isn't it, of a wonderful new piece of technology, but it brings with it a possible downside as well. How many times have we talked about that?
Well, you've seen that with Apple AirTags, you know, these little tracker tags you can get on a key ring to put on your keys and other things that you don't want to lose. And now they've found that thieves are using them. They're finding cars that they quite like, you know, expensive cars. Oh, they're sticking a tag on it, waiting till the owner drives it home and then stealing it off their driveway overnight. So it sort of. But on the other hand, you can put one in your car and track it and get it back. So, you know, it swings around
back. Could I have everything? Could this, you know, kitchen units, for example? Oh, I'm fed up with this navy blue kitchen. I'd like a nice bright yellow one now. Could it be there? Well, could it be everywhere?
Bill, I like the way you think. Yeah, I think where we will go with this sort of technology, might not be e-ink, is imagine all the walls in your home coated with it. So first of all, and you can have colour. First of all, redecorating becomes a thing of the past. You can just have whatever colour walls you want. You can have the walls emitting light. The walls can be the light source themselves. This is not this technology. I'm sort of, if you pardon the pun, projecting a little bit. But and also, just imagine you go up to the wall and you draw with your finger a rectangle on the wall, and that becomes your 8K television set height, you know. And just imagine you draw a circle, and that becomes the clock on the wall. Incredible. And over there, you draw another rectangle, and that becomes your window. And you could either have the cameras pointing out, showing you the actual view from that window, or you could have Niagara Falls or anything else, or herds of wildebeest sweeping majestically across the horizon. You could have all of those things at such a resolution that your eyes can't tell it's not real.
Oh, my word.
Yeah, so that, I think that will come. That's not this technology, but I think this idea of smart surfaces is a part of our future.
I don't think we're going to get through five, but it's up to you if you want to rush them or save one or even two for next week.
No, let's see how we go, right? So you've got...
Number two, then.
A good implementation of what sounds like an easy, basic idea. So this is the Schlage... Schlage Encode Plus, and it's a Wi-Fi based door lock. It's a deadbolt, so you can use it on your front door, and you can lock and more to the point, unlock the door with the Apple Watch or your iPhone. And because it will work with, say, iPhone, it means that you can have a fingerprint or facial recognition security on your front door. Mm-hmm. And it's a simple idea, but actually getting it to work has been really hard. You know, this is part of Apple's technology that they put into their devices some time ago, but this is the first really good implementation of it, and it's got an integrated keypad if you want to be old school about it. Next up, we've got something called the Labrador Retriever, which is a robot that is not very exciting looking. It actually looks more like a trouser press that you might see in a hotel room. It's effectively, imagine a shelf on wheels. It's a shelf that can go up and down, and it can navigate your living space, and it doesn't try to do too much. And for that reason, it could become part of our lives. It's essentially this sort of robotized shelf that can carry things around for you, around your home. And particularly good, you know, if a person hasn't got, you know, full physical capability, maybe a little bit of arthritis, heart. Yeah, I mean, it can. You have to modify your fridge door, but it can go to the fridge and get you a beer. Which is, it seems to be, you know, that all this technology, and the thing that most journalists want to know is, can it go to the fridge and get me a beer? And the answer in this case is yes,
that.
It can.
Yeah.
So, there we are. So that's the first three.
So it doesn't find you a Labrador. It behaves like a Labrador.
Exactly. It's a retriever.
It does about as much as a trained dog could do. Yes,
yeah,
so
it looks nothing like a dog. It looks more like a trouser press. It's called the Labrador Retriever. And I just like it. The challenge with all these sorts of robots, particularly in the home, is trying to get them to do more than one thing well. So, you know, we've had it since the 60s and the 70s, you know, all these kitchen gadgets that do just one thing. Do you remember what was that thing, like the Ronco Pop-O-Matic or whatever it was, and it used to stick buttons
put
back
your buttons
on
back on, yeah. Yeah. Leave a horrible bit of plastic showing. Yeah.
Yeah, or something, that, you know, but it would only do one thing. So you'd end up with, you know, 50 gadgets in your kitchen or whatever it was. And the challenge now for these sort of smart robotic devices is twofold. That it be physically dexterous enough to work and do different tasks, and that its intelligence be general AI rather than specific AI. So at the moment, you can get a robot to cook you a meal, but if you ask it to, wash the dishes, it will not know what to do. And, you know, you can get, we've had computer programs that play chess at grandmaster level, but ask them to play checkers and they stare at you blankly. So this idea of getting these multi-use robots that are safe for you as well, that don't accidentally crush, kill and destroy you, it's a challenge, but it's coming, and I like the fact that this one is simple. You know, it doesn't try and overextend itself. It does does what it does really well.
Right, on we go with the gadget detective Fevzi Turkalt with his pick of the best. Number four is a projector.
Yeah, so these are a couple of products that look like they are going to come to fruition. In fact, this next one is going to go on Kickstarter from Monday and be expected to be on general sale sometime around mid-March. So it's nice to see that not everything is just conceptual. So this is from Anker. Anker is a brand, A-N-K-E-R, that people might know best for their chargers, their portable power packs, and their cables, but they do a lot more than that. So this is from Anker, and it's got a great name. It's called the Nebula Cosmos Laser 4K Projector. And the clue's in the 4K. So we know what projectors do. They project onto walls, and they've become quite popular in recent times because people can go out in the garden and project it on the side of their neighbour's house or their own house, and you can get very big images. So 4K is very high resolution. It's literally four times as many dots as a full HD television.
Ooh,
so
imagine
a full HD television, 2x2 of those, you know, four of those all packing into one picture. And the really nice thing is that 4K is often wasted because, you know, the screens are not that big, and, you know, you wouldn't even notice if it was 2K or 4K. This thing can project an image of up to 105 inches. That's about 12 and a half feet on the diagonal. Imagine two fully grown men from the bottom left to the top right, head to toe, as it were.
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of huge. Projectors don't do so well in bright light. So if you're, you know, sitting in your front room with the curtains opening and sunlight streaming through, you will see the picture, but it won't be vibrant. If, however, you dim the lights a little bit, or at least, you know, don't have direct sunlight, then you get a really good picture. So this is if you want to have something kind of cinematic. It's not cheap. It's going to be a shade under $2,200, although I expect with most of the Anker stuff, they do, you know, it does go on sizable promotions from time to time. But it's going to be real, and although that's a lot of money, if you were to try and buy a 4K television of anything like that size, it would cost you so much more. The other nice thing, other than the fact it's got speakers and Wi-Fi built into it, it's got the Android operating system and processor in it. So it's rather like what you find inside one smartphone. So with the normal projector, you have to feed it a video image for it to project, right? So you might connect up a Blu-ray DVD player, or you might cast the image from your smartphone or tablet. With this, it's got all the gubbins of the smartphone built into it, so it runs apps itself. So it can run, you know, BBC iPlayer or Netflix or Amazon Prime Video or Disney Plus, or, you know, hundreds of different things it will run. So it's all self-contained. As long as it's got Wi-Fi, it can actually run the app itself and project it. So it doesn't need to be you know, sent an image from the outside, which I think is really nice. So I look forward to that. And the last one, if I may, it's also from Anker. It's called the Anker Work. So it's a range of things designed for work, although, frankly, this is good for any home. It's the B600 Video Bar, and it's a webcam. And imagine a wide webcam, and along the top of it is a light bar built into it. So one of the problems with video is it's really true that the more light, the better. For you to get a good quality image, you need a good amount of light. And sometimes, you know, we're working from home and the lighting might not be ideal, or it might be, you know, a type of light that pulses and you have to turn it off so you don't get strange effects. So this has got the light built into it. It's also got a 2K sensor, which will work at 30 frames a second. Built-in speakers, which again is unusual for a webcam. So, you know, it's pretty all-in-one. And it's got this nice artificial intelligence feature where it works out what it's looking at and how wide the field of view needs to be. So if it's just you at a desk, say, it'll give you a narrow field of view and you'll fill the screen and all your messy background for the whole room won't be in view. Similarly, you know, if members of your family join you and you're doing, you know, video chat with granddad or whatever it is, it realizes that it needs to give you a wider field of view and capture several people at once. And it does that quite well. It's going to cost, I think the list price is going to be about $220 US. I imagine in time it will come down in price as well. And it's just nice to have that lighting and speakers and the intelligent field of view built in all in one.
Don't forget Fevz's podcast, Gadget Detective Podcast, available now. Thank you so much, dear friend. We shall speak in a week's time.